This week's parsha, the parsha that we read just yesterday, Parshas Ekev, we have a pasuk, Va'ata Yisrael Ma'ashem Elokecha Shalom Eimach Ki'im Liyira, that what Moshe Rabbeinu tells us, Kal Yisrael, what is it that Hashem, your God, really wants from you? Ki'im Liyira, so only to fear Him. And the Gemara in Bracha says that the way that Moshe Rabbeinu refers to Yiras Hashem, it's Milsa Zutrasahi, is it such a small thing? And the Gemara says, yeah, by Moshe Rabbeinu, Taka Yiras Hashem is Milsa Zutrasahi. It's a very, very small thing. To Moshe Rabbeinu, it was obvious, almost inconsequential. But in davening, right after we read about the Akedah, because of the zechus that the Akedah invokes, and the inspiration, the zechus that Akedah invokes, Klape Shmaya, in heaven, we want Hashem to remember the Akedah, to remember the Mesiras Nefesh of Avram and Yitzchak, and that zechus, that merit should stand for us Ad Heyom Hazeh, to this very day. And also, we're supposed to read about the Akedah because the Akedah is supposed to inspire us. It'll bring us to sacrifice, to the Mesiras Nefesh, to recognize the importance of Avodas Hashem and living a life committed to it. And after the Akedah, we come to a very, very also intense tefillah that relates to this request from Parshas Ekev that Moshe Rabbeinu asks us just to have fear of God. It comes to the section that starts, L'olam Yehei Adam. I recommend that you have a sitter tonight if you can. It's definitely helpful. It's helpful, I think, every week to have a sitter in front of you, but especially this week, we're really going to be breaking down this tefillah. And I know this tefillah is a tefillah that's not necessarily said by so many people, but what we want to do is, for those that do say this tefillah, it's part of Karbanos. It's not really part of Karbanos. It's actually, we'll talk about the history of this tefillah when it came in. It's actually tacked on to the Birchos HaShachar that a person would normally say at home. And we'll talk about why it is so significant, why I think that if you have a little extra time in your day, it's kedai, it's very worthwhile to try and say the tefillah of La'olam through the end of this tefillah, through the words Amar Hashem. I doubt we'll get through the whole thing tonight, but let's try and get through most of it, and certainly the major theme. The idea of this tefillah of La'olam Yehei Adam actually was instituted, according to most Mefarshim on the Siddur, in about the 5th century CE. 5th century CE, the Jewish people were living under relatively peaceful conditions in Babel, in Babylonia, Persia, you know, the Fertile Crescent area. The Jews in Eretz Yisrael were actually experiencing harsh persecutions from some of the Roman emperors at this time. And we know that's why the Talmud Bavli is so much fuller and much more expansive than the Talmud Yerushalmi, because we know that the Jews in Bavel had greater opportunity to learn, and they had greater opportunity to converse in Torah, to learn Torah publicly. There wasn't really the religious persecution that the Jews had in Eretz Yisrael. So that's why Talmud Yerushalmi, the Jerusalem Talmud, is not as open, not as expansive as Talmud Bavli. But in the myth of the 5th century, about 450s, 460 area CE, there was a king that rose up. Some say it was from the Byzantine era. Some say he was actually of Persian descent. A king rose up who was very, very anti-Jewish. He was very, very anti-Torah. Why was that? Primarily, many say, because the major religion of the time, Zoroastrianism, believed in a duality, believed that there were two gods, the god of good, the god of evil. And so, therefore, he didn't like that. The Jews, they said what? Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So what did this king do? He trained soldiers to recognize the Jewish cry of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and he said it's illegal. It's forbidden to say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And he put his soldiers in the shuls. He put them in the Batei Knesios and told them to wait there to make sure that the Jews don't say this prayer. And they recognized they were galernt goyim. They were goyim. They knew something, and they knew that the Jews only said it in a certain time in the beginning of the day, and therefore what happened was, Chazal were misakein that the Jews would be mekabel ol malchus shemayim, they would accept the yoke of Hashem's kingdom on themselves, when? At home. Right after they said Berchos HaShachar. And that's really what this whole section is about. This whole section was instituted by the Chachamim, many say, of the Fertile Crescent area of the Babylonian Persian area, 5th century CE. And it was in response to these religious decrees not allowing the Jews to say Shema Yisrael. And that's really why it's here. What's interesting is there's another place in davening where we also say Shema Yisrael, that those historians of the Siddur also trace back to this time in Jewish history, and that is Kedusha of Musaf. If you remember Shul and Musaf, on Chazaras Hashatz on a Shabbos or on a Yontif, it's in Musaf that we scream out Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad in Kiddusha of Musaf, and that's really at the end of davening. So that's when they say that the soldiers already left. You know that they were there for Shacharis, they got the Kriyas HaTorah, Haftorah, like right, these Jews are done. So then they left. Maybe the rabbi got up to speak. Then they really all left, right? Then they all got out of there, all of these soldiers. And then the Jews, even though they're mekabel ol malchus shemayim, they accepted the yoke of heaven by saying Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad at home after the Birchos HaShachar. They nonetheless, just that there should be a public recitation of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, they put it into the Kedusha of Chazar Sashatz of Musaf. And so that's the historical background of this tefillah. But look at the text of the tefillah. It's such a beautiful and intense and empowering prayer. It really is. And that's why I say that if you have opportunity to say this tefillah in the morning, it's so kedai. It's such a boost of spiritual energy and empowerment. And the tefillah starts, La'olam yehei adam yirei shamayim basei servagali. A person should always fear heaven, both in secret and begali, out in the open. So we understand why it says, La'olam yehei adam yirei shamayim basei ser. Looking at the historical context, we understand that saying a person should always fear God in private, because this is in response to religious persecution. This was in response to Jews, Rachmana Litzlan, that they'd be killed if they said Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad in shul, out loud, in public. So that's why la'olam, always a person should be careful, yehei adam yirei shamayim, you should fear heaven, baseser, at least in private you should fear heaven. Some say it was after the decree, when they say, so why did it become part of davening? Because that king died very, very young. That king that made the decree, who was so anti-Torah, he died very young. The decree was in existence only a few years. And so Chazal felt that it was a tremendous, divine, miraculous salvation that this king was killed, this king was removed. He died of quote-unquote natural causes. He wasn't assassinated, but that it was a punishment from Hashem because what he was doing to us. And so we left this in davening to remember the miraculous salvation. But some say that the word uvagoloi in reveal and out in the open was added after the Jews were allowed to say Shema. But some take it out that they only say la'olam yehei adam yirei shamayim b'seser. A person should always fear heaven in private. And it's interesting because we know that this was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai on his deathbed, one of the greatest, one of the most important figures really in the spiritual history of the Jewish people, the one that shifted Judaism away from a base HaMikdash Kohen-based religion to a base Medrash, base HaKnesses, Talmud Chacham-based religion. Really, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was such an important, pivotal figure in that transition towards the end of the time of Churban Bayis Sheni. So when he was on his deathbed, his student said, Rebbe, teach us, how should we live our life? And he says, the most important thing is that you should fear Hashem like you fear people. And they said, what? That's it? We should fear Hashem the way we fear people? And he says, halavai. Halavai, you should fear Hashem the way you fear people. How often a person is about to do an avera and they look around, like make sure no one's looking, right? It's a famous story with the Chafetz Chaim that he was once being driven somewhere by wagon, and the wagon driver pulled over to the side of the road where there was a beautiful orchard, and he told the Chafetz Chaim, you know, you be my guard. You look, if you see the owner watching or coming to get me, you know, scream out to me. and he was going to steal some produce. And so the wagon driver goes into the orchard, and the Chafetz Chaim screams out, "The owner's watching! The owner's watching!" And the guy quickly runs back to the wagon, jumps on, they take off. And he said, "Where did you see him? You saw the owner. What was he doing? Was he coming with a weapon?" And the Chafetz Chaim told him, "What do you mean? The master of the whole world was watching you. Not the owner of everything. The Kone HaKol was watching you." Like so often, we are concerned about people's perceptions. We're not afraid of Hashem. So that's why we say, like the tefillah, like the wish of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai in his deathbed, "Tis talmidim halavai, we should fear Hashem the way we fear people." And that's la'olam yehe adam yirei shamayim b'seiser. We should always fear Hashem in private. But then uvagoli, and also when things are revealed. So as I said, not everyone agreed with this part of the tefillah. They took it out. Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, the former president and chancellor of Rosh Hashiva of Yeshiva University. So I still remember, he was a speaker I could listen to for hours on end. One of the few that I mamish could just sit and listen to Rabbi Lamb for mamish all day. So I remember one powerful drasha that he gave, that he thought bizman hazeh, in our day and age, and again, this, you're talking 25 plus years ago, Rabbi Lamb said that we have to insist on baseser uvagolui. That he said that, in society, you're talking probably the early 90s, maybe mid 90s, Rabbi Lamb said that in American society, religion is under fire. You know, I don't want to get political here, but he said already in the early to mid 90s, religion is under fire. The society looks down at religion. And he says, nowadays, we can't be ashamed. We can't be shy about our religious observance. I still remember a Talmud of mine who went to Harvard who told me, "Rebbe, in Harvard, I walk around with my tzitzis and a yarmulke on, people would come up to him. Like, Adam, you're such a smart guy. You really, you're an observant Jew? Like, you're a believing Jew? You believe that God gave the five books of Moses?" And they used to mock his observance, his Torah, his belief. And he couldn't believe it. This is you're talking Harvard in the early 2000s. He said that people would mamish just feel fine coming up and just mocking him and maligning his very, very deeply held religious beliefs. And that's why Rabbi Lamb said that we dafka have to say uvagolui, that we fear Hashem not only in the privacy of our home, but vagolui, in a revealed way. We also, we're not ashamed of our emunah b'Hashem. We're not ashamed of living a life of Torah and mitzvahs. You're right, whether it's a concept of tznius and burning hot summer, whether it's how we speak, whether it's how we conduct ourselves, we're not ashamed of these things. Yes, we seem a little bit different, but we're proud of this, because this is the Torah's Hashem. So that's the Olam Ye'adam Yerei Shemayim B'Seiser V'Goli. Umoda Lo Emes. Then we say Umoda Lo Emes. You should admit to the truth, right? That if a person really wants to fear heaven, and again, we're not going to talk about what fear of heaven is, because that's mamash an hour and a half shir. You know, there are four different levels of Yiras Hashem, of Yiras Shemayim, of Yiras Chet. We're not going to get into those right now. But just a person should have Yiras Shemayim, whether it's fear, whether it's awe, whether it's Yiras Shemayim, whether you see heaven in everything that's going on in your life, and heaven is really what guides you. But Umoda Lo Emes, that if a person is going to work on being a Yiras Shemayim, if you're going to work on always having that sense of Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samid, that's really, many, many say that's what Yiras Shemayim is, a sense of God's presence, very real, and therefore certain sense of awe and a certain sense of fear, like that story with the Chafetz Chaim. But Umoda Lo Emes, you have to admit to truth that if you really want to be a Yarei Shemayim, one of the keys to that is Moda Al HaEmes, that you're going to have to admit to truth. That what does that mean, you have to admit to truth? To admit to it means that you didn't see it that way at first. That when you're wrong, you have to be able to admit to it. So that's also a big madrega, to admit when you're wrong. That's not a simple thing, as anyone who's ever been wrong, as I have been many, many times, just ask Leah, ask my wife, right? So to admit to that, that's not an easy thing. But then we continue on, v'dover emes belvavo. And it's not enough to be modal emes. It's not enough to admit to the truth when someone else points it out to you. But you know what else you have to do? V'dover emes bilvavo. You have to speak truth bilvavo in your heart. What does that mean? So this is like what the Ramchal tells us from Moshe Chaim Lutzatu in the beginning of the Mishilas Yesharim. V'dover emes bilvavo, that you have to speak truth to your heart. It means that you have to be seeking out truth. It has to be something bilvavo, that you speak truth bilvavo in your heart, that the truth can't just be something you know intellectually, but it has to be something that you bring down. V'dover emes bilvavo, that you speak truth in your heart. So you understand that this is just a line and a half of davening, but there's so much amkus, there's so much depth here, and we're really calling ourselves out. We're really laying it out. Like Moshe Rabbeinu says, Vata Yisrael, Ma Hashem Elokecha Shalom Imach. And hear, O Israel, what is it that Hashem wants you? Kim Liyir, Hashem just wants you to fear Him, just wants you to be in awe of Him, just to see Him in existence. And that's what we start after the Akedah, after all of Birchas HaShachar. And we know from that pasuk, Vata Yisrael, Ma Hashem Elokecha Shalom Imach, that is in fact the source of saying 100 brachas a day, or all those in Berea that I learned with. I hope you remember that, right? But that's the source, by saying all of the Birchos HaShachar, by going through this whole litany of brachos in the morning, Pakech Ivrim, Zokev Kifufim, Shosali called Sarki, Anosen Leif Koach, right? So this should bring us to Yiras Hashem, that it's not enough that we say the brachos in the morning and then we're going to go and write and do whatever it is. No. La'olam Yehadam Yir Shamayim B'Sei Shavagoli. That these brachos are supposed to bring us to a place of Yiras Hashem, of Yiras Shamayim, and it'll bring you to a place where you can admit to the truth, and furthermore, V'dover Emes Bilvavo, and you have to speak the truth Bilvavo in your heart. It has to get into the deepest place. And V'yashkem V'yomar, and you wake up in the morning and you say, why does it say V'yashkem V'yomar, that you wake up early in the morning and you say? The idea of V'yashkem, right, when someone wakes you up early in the morning, like, do you know what's going on? You're like, what, right? Someone wakes you up, you know, like, what's your name? Maybe you can answer your name. But V'yashkem V'yomar means that this should be so integral to who you are. V'yashkem, you should wake up V'yomar, and this is what you're going to declare. What are you going to declare? Ribon kol ha'olamim, master of all olamim. What is olamim? So very often it's translated master of all the world. Rav Schwab in his Beirush and Siddur points out that would be ribon kol ha'olamos. What's kol ha'olamim? So Rav Schwab actually based upon Rav Hirsch's Beirush on the Siddur and Tehillim suggests that ribon kol olamim, and again, this is a very different pshat. I haven't seen this pshat anywhere else, but ribon kol, many translate master of all the worlds, meaning there were worlds before this world, the Chazal tell us, and there's olam hazeh, and there's olam haba, there's olam hanashamos, there's, right? So ribon kol olamim, but he says, no, it should be kol olamos. What's ribon kol olamim? Ha'olamim from lashon of ayin lamed mem, which means that which is hidden and which is concealed. Ha'olam. Ribon kol olamim. That Hashem is the master of everything that's concealed. Right? We said, La'olam yehe adam yirei shamayim baseser uvagoloi. You should fear heaven baseser in hidden and even outside in the reveal in the world. But umod el emes, you have to, and vidover emes bilvavo, you have to speak that truth in your heart. It has to get to the deepest place. So you wake up and you say, master of everything that's hidden. Lo al tzichaseinu anachnu mapilum tachaninu lefanecha. What we're about to say right now is incredibly, incredibly self-negating. What we're about to say, this part of davening, is where we just totally, totally demolish any human hubris, any arrogance of Bnei Adam. What we do now is we rip it up into little pieces, that it's impossible to be arrogant. Because what do we say? Lo al tichasenu, anachnu ma'pilim tachanuneinu lefanecha. It's not based on our righteousness, that we are ma'pilim, that we fall down, no fill, that we fall down. We fall down with tachanuneinu lefanecha, pleading for, we said many times, chanun is lashon chinam, from free gifts from you. Meaning, we don't even have the righteousness that we should be allowed to fall in front of you begging for things for free, right? We don't even have such tzidkas to be able to do it. Kel rachamecha rabim. Because we only come in front of you based on your intense, immense mercy, right? We're only approaching you. We only have the right to approach you because you've given us that right. And then we say, Ma anachnu, what are we? Mechayenu, what have we done with our lives? Mechastenu, what acts of kindness? Matzit kasenu, what's our righteousness? Ma yishuasenu, what's the salvation? How have we helped? Ma kochenu, what is our power? Or ma kochenu, nosen lev koach, what is our perseverance? Ma gevurasenu, what is our strength? Right? We say, what are we? And what's interesting is, many Mefarshim point out that there is a series of seven here. Ma anachnu, mechayenu, mechasdenu, matzikasenu, ma yishuasenu, ma kochenu, ma givurosenu. Then we say after a segue, manomar lefanecha, Hashem Elokeinu velokevosenu. What can we say in front of you? Hashem, our God, and the God of our fathers, right? But when we talk about who we are, there are seven ma's. There are seven, like, what are we? We're nothing. And where does that come from? Mefarshim on the Siddur say it comes from the second pasuk from the book of Koheles. Because in the second book of the second pasuk, in the first parak of Koheles, we say, Hevel Havolim Amar Koheles, Hevel Havolim Hakol Havel. Hevel means vanity. It means emptiness. It means just hot air, that it's nothing. So Hevel is one Hevel, Havolim is two Hevels, Amar Koheles, Hevel Havolim Hakol Havel. So in that second pasuk of Koheles, Shlomo HaMelech writes that basically all toiling in this world is meaningless. It's vanities of vanities, and it's emptiness. It's nothing. It's hot air. That's it. So some say that the ma nachnu, ma chayenu, ma chasdenu corresponds to the seven hevels. That all the toiling that we have in this world, what is it? What do we hope to accomplish? And then we say, manomar lefanecha, Hashem Elokeinu velokevosenu, halokal gibor. What can we say in front of you, Hashem, our God, and the God of our fathers? And now we go to another series of seven. Halo kala giborim kain lefanecha, all those with physical strength, they're like nothing. The Anshe Hashem, people that are famous, they're all over the internet, they're all over the news, they're all over social media. Kilo hayu, like they don't exist, they're nothing. Who are they? The Chachamim, Kivle Ma'ada, wise people, they have no wisdom compared to you. Univonim, people that have insight, they're able to read situations. Kivli Haskel, like they don't have any intellect, like they have no intuition. Kirov Maseim Tohu, because most of their actions are totally empty, devoid of meaning. Vimei Chayim Hevel Lefanecha, the days of their life are like vanities, are emptiness. Umosar Adam Min HaBehema Oyin Ki HaKol Havel. And the difference between a human being, the difference between a human being and an animal is Oyin, is nothing. Because when you're talking about this world, everything that we focus on, that's solely focused on this world, what is it? What do you hope to accomplish? And so therefore, in this paragraph, when we talk about how a person is supposed to have Yira Shemayim and admit the truth and speak truth to your heart, you know what it has to come? It first has to come by almost what David HaMelech says of the Sur Meira. Recognize what we're not here for. Recognize what is not emes, right? And you think about this, there's a famous story that Rabbi Beryl Wine one time found himself in B'nai Brak with a member of his kila when he was a Rav in Muncie, who was a Baal Tshuva. And Rabbi Wine was in Kiryat Vizhnitz, was in the Vizhnitz Hasidic enclave in B'nai Brak. And they were seeing a bunch, mamish, like hundreds of little Vizhnitzer boys running around with their pious and their little caps on. And this Baal Tshuva let out a krechs and a little tear was coming down his cheek. And Rabbi Wine said to him, David, why are you crying? You look at this innocence of these children and you feel that, you know, your life wasn't that. This was a person, Rabbi Wine said, that had quite the experiences in the late 60s and in the 70s with drugs and clubs and other things. And he said, no, Rabbi, just the opposite. I'm crying because I feel bad for these kids. I've been to the outside world. I see it's mamish, it's totally sheker. It's full of falsehoods, full of arrogance, full of taiva and chasing after nothingness. I'm so sad that maybe, God forbid, one of these Hasidish little boys will grow up thinking that the world outside has something that the world of Torah doesn't have. They'll think there's something out there that's better than Torah. And he goes, that's why I'm crying. So we wake up, Vayashkem V'yomar, to be modal emes. What does it mean to admit the truth? And to say this truth in your heart? is to say, Ma nachnu, mechayenu, what am I? What am I accomplishing? When we talk about this world, and what are wise people in this world? What are the famous people in this world? What are they trying to do? What are the strong people in this world doing? Right? Kol havel. It's all emptiness. And that's why it's based on that second pasuk in Koheles of Hevel Havalim Amar Koheles, Hevel Havalim HaKol Havel. And then we switch. And then we turn. And what do we turn to? Aval anachnu amcha. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But we are your nation. B'nei Berisecha, we're the children of your covenant. B'nei Avram Ohavcha, Shenishpata lo Bahara Maria, the children of Avram, Ohavcha, the one that you loved. Shenishpata lo Bahara Maria, that you swore to him on Hara Maria. And again, this is coming right after, if you have the chance to say the Akedah. Zera Yitzchak Yechido Shenakar al Gavi HaMizbeach. We're the descendants, we're the progeny of his singular son Yitzchak that was bound on top of the Mizbeach on HaMaria. Adas Yaakov Bincha Bechorecha. We are the Chevra, we are the Adas, the congregation of Yaakov Bincha Bechorecha. Your firstborn child, as Moshe Rabbeinu was instructed to tell Paru, Bini Bechori Yisrael, my firstborn child, Yisrael, the Jewish people, Yaakov Vinu's other name, Shemei Avos Chashavtoso, from the love that you loved him, Umisim Chasla Shesamachtabo, and the joy that you were joyous in him, Karasa Eshemo Yisrael Vishurun, that you called Yaakov Avinu by two other names. You called him the name of Yisrael and the name of Yishurun. And what's so interesting is, again, this is from the immense love that Hashem had for Yaakov Avinu and the simcha, the joy. What's the difference? The love is an emotion that's not always readily apparent, the deep love for a person, but simcha. Simcha is generally something, that's how some learn the difference, is that it's expressed in outer ways, right? Karasa eshmo Yisrael vishurun, that from the love of Yaakov and the joy that you had with Yaakov Avinu, you gave him these other names. Yisrael, kisarisa melekim v'anashim v'atuchal, Yaakov Avinu's ability to struggle and to overcome, and the name of Yishurun. Yishurun is a lashon of yashar, doing everything correct and everything straight. Right, as the Rambam says, the ideal in Midos is to be straight, not to veer to either extreme, but to be Yashar. And that's the name given to Yaakov Avinu when things are great. So what we're doing here in this tefillah is we're drawing a stark, stark contrast. We have to recognize the obligation to achieve Yira Shamayim, to that awe of heaven, that fear of heaven, that God awareness at all times, and to admit to the truth, but speak to this truth to your heart. That what's all the toil and going on about? What are people really accomplishing? What are they chasing? What's out there? But and unfortunately, Rahman al-Utslan, and we say this with great sadness, but also with a sense of responsibility that we know as the Bnei Avram Yitzchak V'Yaakov, Bnei Sarah Rivka Rachav Aleh, we have a responsibility to teach the world. We're the Mamlachas Kohanim, just like the Kohanim for the Jewish people, the ones to connect the Jewish people to Hashem. We're the Mamlachas Kohanim. We're a whole kingdom of Kohanim. We're the Kohanim for the whole world, to teach the whole world how to connect to Hashem. But we recognize the futility of toiling only in Olam Hazeh, and then we switch. We say, Aval anachnu amcha b'nei v'risecha. But Hashem, you're right, there's so many, Rachman al-Tzlan, they toil, and the toiling is empty. The gevura, their fame, their strength, their power, their money, their intellect, what is it doing for them? What's it doing for them? But anachnu amcha b'nei v'risecha. But we have to know every day we get up, and again, don't forget, when did they normally say this? This was Mesukan, this was established at a time of tremendous religious persecution in the 5th century CE, when the Jews were really not allowed to get together in Shul and say Shema under penalty of death. So you understand that this was an incredibly spiritually empowering tefillah. Avla anachnu amcha b'nei v'risecha. We are your nation, the the children of the covenant and to talk about the Zechus Avos, to remind Hashem, but also to remind ourselves where we come from. That's the idea. B'seisar uvagoloi. That for us, we have to make sure that we have that Yiras Shamayim, not only b'seisar, not only, you know, when we make the cheshbonos that no one else is going to know except for Hashem. Who's going to know if we cheat a little in business or this or that? No, the Eibishter will know. That's Beseser, but also the Gully. In a world where religious belief and religious observance is at times mocked and cynically put down, we have to recognize, Avalanachnu Amcha B'nei B'risecha. And Be'ezer Hashem, we'll just stop here with the beginning part of this tefillah. We'll continue Be'ezer Hashem next week. Lefikach Anachnu Chayavim Lahodos Lecha. Again, we'll see another series of seven and the importance of the Shema and the Bracha after and the paragraph after. Again, I know not everyone says this, but what we're learning together, these shiurim are about making tefillah meaningful. And if you can find a little time to say this tefillah meaningfully, you're talking about a minute a day. That's it. You're talking about a minute a day. Again, the shiur is learning about it, to learn how to appreciate it, to think about it, but you understand the spiritual boost that this can give us every day, and halavai, we can find that minute to get that boost to start us in the right way. Have a great night. Great to learn with you all again.